about why this day is good, why we really should participate in such ways in our day and in our season. This was a weird week for me. It was a week where I had to fight to get the study in that I normally do. Normally, I relax on Monday, then Tuesday, I get into everything I couldn't get to Monday, then Wednesday through Sunday is study time, preparing to preach and so forth. But I couldn't do that because I was supporting the women in our household. In fact, I thought it was interesting that Veronica said something about Steve Harvey, because I had to get everything done by Wednesday, because on Thursday, I took Donna on down to Atlanta where we met up with her sisters, and they all auditioned for the Family Feud. they got selected to audition down there. So that was a struggle. That's a long haul if you haven't done that in a while. So that's what I've been doing the past 2 days. Literally, the audition was at 6 p.m. on Friday. So we had to leave Thursday night, get there by 6 p.m., and then after it was over, we had to start heading back home immediately after it was over. But it was one of the funnest times, and it's going to be a good show when they're on there. I'll be surprised if they don't get on there. That was too fun. They lit up the screen too well. So I'm hoping to report back to you that we got to head down there again and do some filming and taping so they can win the $100,000 plus a car. You can do it. All right, so my message is on note cards this week, but that'll work too. So the message for today is men and women together, imaging God forever. Men and women together, imaging God forever. So what we're part of today is a microcosm of men and women together celebrating Jesus and various talents and skills and the way he lives in us. And this is going to happen forever. We're just getting started. You could almost say, because of sin and the way we're burdened down right now in ways we don't even know, that we're just barely tasting the goodness that's to come. But it's going to be more like this, just more richer, more full, more enjoyable, more of us relating together well without obstacles. So what I would like to do is read a few scriptures. And then I'd like to talk about the subject today, proclaim the gospel to you. And perhaps in the light of the title I've given you, because remember, you're being trained to help other followers of Jesus. You're not just here to attend a women's day and a day where we gather as a church. That's part of it. But part of it is you're being re-educated along with me that we might share with others, as Trish was just talking about, of our money, our time, our talent, so that others may know. And the earth really may be full of the Lord's knowledge, and people can relate to and with him. So I'm going to read, let's see, I'll go in kind of what might seem a scattered way. I'd like to begin with Hebrews chapter 1. So think of my title, Men and Women Together, Imaging God Forever. So as I read, maybe you could even begin to put together the pieces on what I'm going to say, because I hope that I'm just a confirmation to what the Lord is teaching you, even when we're not together here. So Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, I'm reading out of the NIV. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, speaking of Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom also he made the universe. Now here's the real key. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And then it says, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. That's important for me to read so that we don't go with the Son language and just think of God far off and in heaven, the God, Father, Son, and Spirit, but that remember that the context of when he mentions Son here means the Son as a human being. And he says the Son as a human being was the Father's radiant glory and the exact representation of God's being in flesh. Now that's crucial to understand. I'll go back here in the Bibles, a few pages, to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2. And verses 11, maybe through 22 here. Therefore, Paul writes, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. I might add to you here, because of the gospel, you hear about inclusion. When you read about this exclusion here, it says they were excluded from citizenship in Israel. They weren't excluded from citizenship in Jesus Christ and in the household of the Lord, as it were, in the relationship with the Father, Son, and Spirit. They were just foreigners to the covenant of the promise. In other words, if you don't know about God and you don't know about the covenant, you can't participate in it by belief. Therefore, you walk around in ignorance. So you are excluded in a sense, not from the relationship, but you're excluded from the fact that you're not excluded from the relationship. And that's very important. And then it says, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus. So think now, he's in one single person, Jesus. You who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So let's keep this in the context of today. You men and women that aren't getting along so well, whether it's as friends or maybe in your marriage or maybe in your courtship right now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. So that thing, those situations getting in between you and your mate, you and the other sex, the other gender, these things have been destroyed. The barriers have in Christ Jesus. And in this one single person, now look, he's saying everybody, because he says Jews and Gentiles. Jews were the circumcision, and Gentiles were the uncircumcised, the pagans. That's the only type of people there were in the world at the time. So that meant Jewish women and Gentile women, as well as Jewish men and Gentile men. Somehow in Christ, they were brought together and now get along. There's reconciliation available. There's no barrier, no hostility inside this one person on our behalf. Verse 15, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both Jew and Gentile, male and female, young and old. So you can probably say black and white. You can take every kind of way we have conflict. And in him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, speaking particularly now of believers, those who participate by belief, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Look at this grace here, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together. So we look like we're falling apart sometimes. We look like we get all discouraged. Things don't look right. They don't sound right. We actually fight with one another. But it says in him, the whole body is joined together and it's rising to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So we're in a state of being in Christ Jesus, and we're also, by faith, becoming more and more full with that life by the faith he shares with us in the Holy Spirit. So that's the ultimate answer to your problems right now that you may be having or may yet have with a person of another sex or gender, whether it be in the church or not. And that is in Christ Jesus. That's already been solved. Don't panic too much. Don't be in too much fear. Don't go try to get all your plans and try to fix it as if you're going to ultimately get it fixed if you just have the right plan and relational strategy. It has been fixed in the person of Jesus Christ. And hopefully through the programs, through the strategies, through the relationship, you'll begin to know him there and participate with him more accurately. And so then I'd like to read then. So since that's the reality, that's the reality, what I just read to you. Now we can go back and understand Genesis chapter 1 a lot better. So I'll start in Genesis 1 verse 20. Let's see. We'll start here in verse 26. So what has just happened is God created the animals in the sea, the creatures in the sea. Then he created the creatures in the air. And then he created the creatures on the ground. Now, you got to remember to take Genesis as poetry, okay? These aren't talking about 24-hour days. I know it looks like that to you and I. But this is poetry, because right here in chapter 1, he has God making all the animals and stuff first. But in chapter 2, he makes man first and then the animals. Which is it? Well, the point is, that doesn't matter. What point is the reality of who's behind all this making and creating and sustaining stuff? Just a little tip for you there. But verse 26, then God said, let us... So there we see hints of why we call God Father, Son, and Spirit, because God never makes himself known as being alone. Let us, God. So in the New Testament, it's clarified who the us is. Jesus says, my Father and me, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us, God the Trinity, make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. Now in chapter 2, it says that God called them together, man and woman, mankind. So that whenever you read mankind, it's never speaking of male kind, just alone. It always means men and women together. It's inspired even in the second chapter of Genesis. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So notice that before marriage comes, because marriage is about to come, he's already said man and women together are to rule over everything together. So this is why in the series that we're in, I'm going to renew next week, we still understand that it's ultimately not about being married. That's not the height of the Christian life, and it's something that everybody has to attain to. There's this deeper partnership of male and female that's going to be deeper yet that really images God. And as we see in Jesus Christ. But verse 28, God blessed them, this couple, male and female, and said to them, male and female, or we could say female and male, be fruitful and increase in number. Now there we go, that's marriage right there. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So this blessing to go out and to bear fruit, this fruitfulness, comes with man and woman. It's always been the plan. But notice, because I preach Jesus as the reality, then whenever I talk about Adam and Eve or you and me, I'm talking about the copy. I'm talking about the shadow. Now see, what happens is we've all gotten thrown off here. It's not an unimportant point I'm making. If we start off reading the Bibles, we usually start off, oh, Genesis, and we go all the way to Revelation, and you almost think that that's the historical order of the Bible. It's not the historical order of the Bible. God has already had a plan for Jesus and about Jesus before he ever made us. That's why I started and said God's real image for man in Hebrews was the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't Adam and Eve. We're never going back to that Adam and Eve the way they had it. It was good how they had it, but they're made as a copy and as a shadow to Jesus Christ. So I want to read one more section here, Genesis chapter 2. Okay, so Genesis chapter 2, God kind of really emphasizes this. It's about male and female together, peers, complementariness. The Lord God, verse 15, took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, for the man, there was no suitable helper found. So God just like made him starve, made him salivate. He's naming everybody, seeing two by two, male and female. He come to himself, me no female. You know, I mean, he didn't say that. He said, me missing something. Me know what? He didn't know what he was missing. See, so when we, now think about this. Think about this in our life. When we're not together as male and female, when we're fighting, when we're in hostility, when we're just not simply giving the other proper due and correct, we're missing something. And sometimes it's missing in our life, and so we're tempted to do maybe what Adam did. He knew he was meant to work the land, so he goes out, and you go out sometimes, you think maybe it's in more work. if I can just get more work done, make more money in the house, then she'll be happier. And she's thinking, if he can just get out of here and make more money, and then I'll be happier. She agrees with that goal. Meanwhile, the relationship lacks because work is sometimes a merciless slave master in our day. And they make a demand because at the end of the road is your money, your livelihood, your tin cup. You got to have some way to pay these bills and eat that food. And so you run right past the fact that maybe the real way to be strong and go forward is with a partner. And not just any partner, a female if you're a male. And if you're a female, or you know, vice versa. I'm not sure how I just said that. But one needing the other. All right, so here's what God did. So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, not at his feet, not anything out of his feet, not below him, not anything out of his head, not above him, out of his side. Peer to peer. He's creating this image of man and woman. Excuse me here. All right. Sorry. And let's see. The Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man. And the man said, this is banging. This is what I'm talking about. This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And, of course, now, you know, we could say, see, the man should dominate because the woman was taken out of him. Notice what the Lord did in his smartness and creativity. Now, there ain't no man without no woman. What man arrived here without a mama, without a mother of some sort? See, now he made it so that the woman could bear fruit, and now she basically said, without the woman, there can't be a man. Without the man, there couldn't be a woman. Without the woman, there cannot be a man. And that's whether you're married or not. Okay, I want to keep. All right, and finally, the last scripture. And this is all tying in and going somewhere. Galatians chapter 2. I'm kind of just pointing out the highlights in scripture to talk about this male and female image. And so we take it serious. Galatians chapter 3. Let's see. All right, verse 23. Paul's actually talking about the difference between law and living by grace, but he's talking about faith. That's going to become important. But also notice what he says here. Before the coming of this faith, before this coming of this faith that the church embraces through Jesus and by the Holy Spirit to the glory of the Father, this faith of the Father, Son, and Spirit, before this, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, in his very person, in his very being, which we started off with in Ephesians, in that person is where two have come together and are now one, God and man and man and man. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So now think about this, right? When you still want to say that I'm superior because I'm the man and I'm stronger, or I'm superior because I'm the woman and I look better or more beautiful, whatever it is, he keeps going. There is in Christ, those of you that have put him on, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. Trying to make the point, is not one of you above or superior to the other. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. All right, I'm not going to read out of there anymore. That's enough. But just look for my note cards from this point, and we'll just preach the good news. Let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us together, men and women. We know you're doing it other places and not just here, but we're grateful that you're doing it here, that we can participate right here at 3409 Lord Baltimore. Men, thank you for all those that have come out today by your inspiration, maybe at the invitation of a friend. And thank you that in our midst and as we are partners together in Christ Jesus, you proclaim the gospel to us together. May we receive today our maleness, and may we receive our femaleness, but not as the world receives it, Lord, in individuality. Please cut that out of us more and more, and let it be as it is in Jesus, that we only have our dignity as male and female together. We only have our specialness, our glory, as male and female together. Proclaim your good news today. I'd be happy to participate, and so would the rest of us. We love you and thank you for your insight and your help and creativity. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. So, as with any subject, as with anything we talk about at church, we don't really want to talk about male and female, per se. Even that's the title of my message. The first place we always want to begin is with the person of Jesus Christ. Because to take the scripture seriously is to take what I to show you what I showed you. That Jesus is, in fact, the image of God. So we've long kind of been, we've all been kind of seduced in the wrong direction. Because again, this wrong take of reading the scriptures. Genesis comes first. God says he made man and woman in God's image. So we think that if woman's not there, we think that Adam's made in the image of God. And he's not yet in the image of God. Because whenever God talked about the image, he said, let us make them together. Let us make mankind together is my image. So God's image is always in socialness, in relationality. All right. So, but we don't begin with us. We begin that somehow, mysteriously, in Jesus Christ, there's oneness going on between man and man, because it says that in him, Jew and Gentile, no matter who they are, old, young, black, white, male, male, female, female, he says they get along. The human race gets along. Now look, I want you to read a quote up here, and this is pretty much how I'm going to proclaim the rest of the message. This is what you have heard in one sense already through the scriptures. The humanity, this is a quote by James Torrance. He says, the humanity of Jesus Christ was both an act of divine grace and divine judgment. All such distinctions which seek to align God with one kind of humanity and against another were put to death at the cross. But the incarnation, Jesus and God in flesh, was also an act of grace, for it created a new humanity in which all divisions and distinctions were healed and transformed into a commonwealth, where each and every human being is accepted and affirmed as representative of Christ himself. Now, there's one other part of it here. The church can only be the true church where both this grace and judgment determines its existence. He's right on. I'm seeking to be the true church along with you today. And he says, can you back it up? So he says that every single one of us, male and female, are representatives of Christ himself. I say this to you often. I'd like to say it to you again. You're not taking yourself near serious enough. You're not taking Jesus Christ near serious enough. And neither am I. Okay, so I'm not pointing fingers here. Because are you really affirmed and accepted as a representative of Jesus Christ? How could that be? You're a black man in a white man's world. You may be a white man in a black man's world, depending on where you live and work. You may be a Hispanic in a black and white man's world. See what I'm saying? Just making the point. You may, so for you, how can you get ahead? How could you possibly be affirmed as acceptable? You don't live on that side of town. You don't have that kind of money. You're never going to get the kind of education they say you should get to really be a respectable human being. And the gospel comes in today in grace and says, in Christ Jesus you are affirmed and acceptable. But it also is judgment. It's judgment against any way you think outside of Jesus Christ to have your identity. If you think someone else's identity is in something else, someone else, then Jesus Christ, then judgment comes against you. And Jesus says, no, that's not right. I do not agree with you there. I ask for you to repent and agree with me. Male and female together, neither superior. So I proclaim to you today, Jesus the Christ, the reality of humanity. Jesus is the grace of God. So I want you to hear the grace of God through these scriptures. This is certainly what I saw. I saw in these scriptures that Jesus is the foreword of God, not just the afterword. He didn't just come on the scene because sin happened and now he's got to come and mop it up because he didn't know what he was going to do and he decided to do that and now he was a reactionary. God is no Bible-thumping reactionary like we sometimes are. God was the foreword. He'd always planned that mankind in his greatest glory as male and female would be conformed to the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. We may not be able to explain it. How can you explain? See, this is where we don't go into the house. How can you explain that God in Jesus is just a male? That's what it looks like to me. And yet, how can you say that men and women are together in him when he's not a woman? See, you're going to don't go in that direction. There's a new way in which you can embrace the reality of life that's been given to us by Jesus and the Spirit, and that's the way of faith. Not the way of the Enlightenment, and that you have to prove things and you have to dig up some scrolls before I can believe a thing that you have to say. Now, I know what I'm talking about because I've had to study this stuff as a pastor. I've fallen into all these traps and gone around trying to dig, how can I prove to the congregation this week that this is real? I don't have to fall into that junk anymore. All I do is have to do what Jesus called me to do. You be faithful and proclaim me, Timothy J. Brazell. That's it. I'll do all the proving and showing them who I am. And of course, that's the way that it works. But he's the forethought of God. He came before Adam and Eve. He came before we were male and female in the way we were. So if we're going to have understanding about ourselves, we have to know Jesus. The world and the cosmos were made for Jesus Christ. They were made for you. And everything he did for you, he did for you. However, without him, you could never do it. So we've heard that today by Veronica. He had to go before you, do it for you and on your behalf, and then hand it to you by the Spirit so that you could do it with him too. You with me on that? That's kind of complicated to think through, although it should be easier for us to understand it now. So Jesus was always coming. Even if we had never sinned, Jesus was coming. He was going to take us from this copy and this shadow of being male and female and take us into the reality, such as we see in his resurrection. So this is why we look hopeful to the resurrection, why we trust the Lord to death and through death to what we're actually going to be like full human beings as male and female. We were always meant and only meant to be conformed to God in Jesus Christ. Do you hear the grace in that? That's no works at all. That's nothing you could pull off with your brightest strategy. You could only receive it. And that's what's so difficult, isn't it? You don't get to pitch in for once. You don't know. You don't get to control a thing. All you get to do is receive it and enjoy it. If you want to. Because you can reject it, and that ain't too good. I don't recommend that. You can experience it in some awful ways, but that's not what you want to do. So then in Ephesians 2, he becomes much more clear about this kind of grace that was given us as male and female. He says, in this one man, all of humanity lives in harmony. All of humanity in the person of Christ lives in human thriving. Can you imagine thriving in every single thing you do, everything you touch, everything you think, in partnership with the other sex, you thrive. No more obstacles, no more hindrances. Look at who and what Jesus is in creation, and there's your future. There's your reason to have hope today, even if you had an argument with someone today on the way to church, or you're probably going to have one afterwards. That'll be even worse. After hearing this good news. But still, what that should do on either case is make you look at Jesus and have hope. Only if you read to see, that's where the scriptures do come in handy. Only by reading the scriptures and trusting what they have to say about Jesus, can I have hope that, wow, no matter how bleak this looks, and I'm on my third divorce or on my third separation, it's still going to be all right. It really is, because Jesus has made all relationships right. Look at who and what he is toward creation, the way he treated animals, the way that he worked with carpentry, the way he was respectful to people. But also, it's not only that. In his love, he wasn't always respectful like we might think of it. Because sometimes he'd call a Pharisee out. You whitewashed, snaky, you know, smell like a tomb. You know, I mean, imagine Jesus coming at you like that. See, so love doesn't look always like this ushy-gushy, mooey-gooey stuff that we're always talking about. Sometimes love is striking. It'll confront you. Now you get down from there, Zacchaeus, you tax collector that we all hate, that everybody hates. You come down because salvation's come to your house today. I mean, Jesus just calls. So he's not always just like lovey-dovey in the sense that we like to make it, but it's real love. It's love that sometimes confronts and encounters you and shocks you into your senses is what he's doing. But anyway, but that's how he is toward his creation. And what he's always working for is union and communion. Get down from there, Zacchaeus, and spend time with me. Stop. Get me some water, woman by the well. Yeah, you relate with me a little bit. Let's sit and relax a while. It's always about union and communion. It's always about complementariness, that you bring to the table something I don't just by being the other. But particularly if you're of a different gender, you really bring another. Somebody just asked me yesterday, what's the real difference between men and women? Who was that, Donna? Who asked me that? So it just asked me that. I said not much. I forget. Somebody just asked me that, and the Holy Spirit gave me a good answer because I was thinking out of these kinds of things. But anyway, we'll keep on moving. But the best way to think of male and female is to think that we were created in the image of the image of God. Because who is the image? And male and female were created in the image of God, and who is Jesus? He's God. So we're created in the image of the image. That's the best way for you and I to think about who we are and how we should relate to one another. So we were created as types and shadows. We were created to mirror and reflect Jesus Christ. Now I want you to think about who Jesus Christ is, because as men and women, this is what we're called to do together in partnership, following through on the command given to us in Genesis, in the garden. Jesus, first of all, reflects God to creation, does he not? He comes down to be with us to reflect the love of God in every situation, to love, to care for, to prune, to nourish, to supplement. See, that's how you're supposed to. You want to know how you're supposed to live? If I just proclaim Christ to you and who he is, that tells you how to live. You're supposed to live as male, nurturing her as if she's your own body, he says. Can you see why Paul said that? He had to be reflecting on Genesis, because the woman came out of the body, out of the rib. Love her like your own self, because in one sense, she is your own self. And woman, you should love the man, I mean, with all your heart, and soul and mind too, as it was, in Ephesians. I'm not quoting that exactly right, but you should submit yourself, because this is your peer. He should submit to you. You should submit to him. So you see this happening in Jesus, because he's reflecting God to us as God in submission to his creation. See, that's how you're supposed to live. But if we stop there, that's not enough, because what else does Jesus do? Well, Hebrews says that Jesus prays for us. The scriptures tell us that Jesus was baptized for us. When he was baptized, we were baptized. It said he lived for us. When he lived, we lived. When he died, we died. And the point of that is he did what we could not do for ourselves. You want to know how to live for your mate and for the males and the females in your home? Live. If they're not doing something right, don't just judge and condemn. Do for them what they can't do for themselves. There you go. You want to know where to go to work in your marriage? Doing for the other what they can't do for themselves, rather than just complaining. But what he does is reflect God to man, and then he reflects man, creation back to God. Because Jesus, as man, prays the prayers that we don't pray but should pray. See, he steps in for us where we're not doing stuff right, does it for us, and then so he's giving back to God a perfect response on behalf of man. See, this is what you're supposed to be doing with creation. This is why we're the kings and queens of creation. What we do is the animals can't talk, can they? When's the last time a squirrel talked to you? And if so, get off of that stuff right now. Get to a doctor, get rehabilitated, and then come on back. We're going to love you anyway. When's the last time you heard a dog talk? See, they can't give God the kind of beautiful worship that only men and women were designed to give. So what we do is we live as priests of creation. First, we live as prophets. See, this is why Jesus was prophet, priest, and king. We live as prophets and kings. We call out over creation, good stuff. Birds of the air thrive. Fish in the sea thrive. Animals, follow me. I'll lead you to water and help you drink. I'll give you good food. Trees, be pruned so you can produce much fruit. See, this is what we're called to do, to reflect God into creation. And then because they can't do these things for themselves, we go out there and participate with God and we work the creation. Then we reflect back to God. Thank you so much for this little dog right here. He can't give you praise. The rocks can't give you praise. But I can give you praise, and I thank you for the rocks. And I thank you for the little doggy, Remy, in our household, as it were. And your little doggy and your little pets and animals. See, so we reflect back to God. So we play the role of prophet, calling out over creation, what creation is actually designed to be. And then we reflect back as priests. See, a priest always goes and does for you what you can't do. You can't do it so the priest can go in behind the curtain and do for you, and then everybody is benefited by it. So we're benefited when we go to prayers for Jesus and say, Lord, help the city of Baltimore right now. They need a peace that only you can bring. They're rioting, Lord Jesus. But we can pray on their behalf because they're not busy praying. They're fighting right now. But, oh, Lord, we're praying on behalf of Jesus. Y'all not with me. Oh, boy. Have any of y'all prayed for Baltimore yet? I hope so. I'm just kidding. You wasn't looking like it. I looked like I was all by myself. See, that's what you're doing. You're doing for creation, for Baltimore, what it cannot do for itself right now. And it's benefiting Baltimore. You better believe that when you participate in the life of Jesus Christ, the Father hears your prayers. In the Holy Spirit, he answers your prayers because it was him in the Spirit that caused you to join Jesus in the first place. So we reflect God to creation. We reflect a perfect response on behalf of creation back to God. And then in Galatians, he's very clear. He says, your identity as every male and female in the world is in Jesus Christ. So here now we have the knots. So now that we heard the goods, this still is the good. Your identity is in Jesus Christ. I've graciously given you who you are. So this is why Tony's last message on Identity Christus, man, that thing is good. That thing, by the way, has had some of the higher numbers on our site out there because you can tell. So what that tells me, people are struggling with their identity right now. Of course, we probably can see it most in the LGBT issues right there, and that's kind of prominent in our day because people are struggling with, who am I? Maybe right now Bruce Jenner might be a name you could say or everybody would recognize right now. He's definitely struggling with trying to know who he is. But I'd like to tell him, I hope you hear it, your identity is in Jesus Christ. It's not in your race. It's not in your age. It's not in your culture. It's not in your sexual gender. It's not in your physical or mental challenge. It's not in your social status or in your grades. It's not in your job title and your ability to sing or do this talent versus that talent. You have been incorporated into God in the person of Jesus Christ, and you are in union with God in Christ. We are one body, and particularly as the church. So that's the great grace that's come upon us, just been given to us, lavished on us, the scriptures use, as male and female. That is who we are. That's the things that we can be about and should be about. However, there's judgment, too, from God. And this judgment is the way you tend to think more about judgment in a negative way. I need my water there. You can even pitch it to me if you want. Okay. She's a good softball player. She knows she can throw. All right, thank you. You've thrown a shoe or two at me at a time, haven't you? I'm kidding. She hadn't done that. Yes, she's felt like it. Of course. But there's judgment from God. But this judgment we don't have to make up in the light of this grace that's been given to us, or this gospel that's just been preached. It's almost easy. It's apparent when the light's in the room what the darkness must be then, and the things that we would want to avoid, or the things that have got to be rid of and Jesus has gotten rid of. So basically, I've put them down this way. The judgment of God says to us, there is no such thing. There never has been and never will be a superior race. There will never be a superior race and never has been and never will be a superior color except the human race as it is in the person of Jesus. That's superior. That's superior humanity. That's man and woman getting along forever to the glory of God in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That means there is no white Jesus. I'm sorry, all these movies getting it wrong. There's no white Jesus with long hair and blue eyes. And our group, there is no black Jesus with a football in one hand and a basketball in the other. I don't know if y'all see these pictures and drawings people make once they got a Jesus. They put him in all kinds of situations. There is no Hispanic Jesus with a sombrero. There's no Asian Jesus eating out of a wok. I don't know. I'm just making up the things that we call generic and saying there is none. There's only Jesus Christ the Jew. That keeps everybody shut up. Jesus died a Jew, and he woke up, and they recognized the same Jewish man, although he is a little bit different of a Jewish man also. But he still rose up, the Son of Mary, as well as the Son of God. So this means now, take this. This is the judgment against you. Anytime you've had any prejudice in your heart, and anytime you ever will have it, it's got to be cut out. That's something the Lord is still working through. He's going to root that completely out of you. Because if he dignified the races and male and female of every color when he raised himself back up, and the two are together in the person of Jesus the Jew, that means you can't hijack Jesus to be the color you want him to be. He gets to remain who he is, because that helps you to remain who you are. You're acceptable as you are. When you're raised up, you're still going to be a black whatever, you know. You're going to be a black human being. I say whatever because I always want to wrestle with that. I don't mind stumbling on that, because we don't know quite fully what is, you know. If we knew, then we wouldn't be wonder how it is. But in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, we don't know quite exactly what it's going to be like. Now, we do know, because Jesus was raised and he was recognized, but Jesus did stuff that we also cannot do. So I'm trying to hold to both of those at the same time. That's why I say that. There is this judgment against us, because he says, the gospel says, there's no superior gender. There's only man and woman working together in partnership, whether married or not married. That's the only thing that's acceptable and superior. This is why I like living in the United States right now. So yeah, we're getting to the point. We're a young nation still, but finally, we learn. It don't just have to be a white president. With a black president, things won't completely crumble either. No, it hasn't completely crumbled. I don't care what anybody says. You and I are still here living, breathing, doing quite well. In fact, most people that leave the middle class, and most of you are middle class, they go to the higher class. They don't go down to poverty, so he ain't doing too bad. And I also like the fact that Hillary's on a ticket now. Now it looks like a woman might. I'm not telling you what my vote is. But I'm going to vote. That's just, but I like the fact now a woman. And then there's a Rubio. That sounds Hispanic to me. That sounds like maybe a Hispanic could be in the run. I like the United States right now for what I believe God is doing. Not because we're a superior nation, because he doesn't have any superior nation. There is no superior nation. Listen, this is so crucial, because none of us, I believe, with just what we know in history, none of us wants a Hitler to happen again, do we? But that came out of Western Christianity. Hitler was able to hijack the church because the church didn't have a good grasp on who Jesus was. So he made Jesus a white Aryan man. And he didn't want him to be a Jew. He hated Jews. This is why he killed a bunch of them and tried to exterminate the entire race. Because he's trying to hijack, and the church went along with him, such that Karl Barth, I keep telling you this name, this is a crucial name, he stood up in front of with the few people that did stand up with him and said, absolutely not. They started the confessing church, and they began to stand against Hitler. And of course, they experienced all kind of trouble and suffering. But it's because of Karl Barth that you and I have a better view of Jesus right now. I'm telling you, you owe your life, as it were, to men and women that have obeyed Jesus right in the middle even of Nazi Germany. When the whole church, he got disillusioned because he was wanting to be a pastor, and he noticed that all the people that taught him, all the pastors that learned him, however you want to use the language, they all were with Hitler and on his side, to where Hitler pretty much controlled the church. Absolutely not. Now, we're not superior to the German people. They weren't. The church is. The church isn't superior to nobody. We're just as wicked rascals as they are. But what we do, though, by the Spirit, is we stand against the world sometimes, even as we stand with them. We, too, stand condemned in sin and in need of Jesus and his grace only. But as the Spirit comes upon us and we begin to live as male and female in this way, then we stand against the ways that don't conform to Jesus, so that we might say to our brother, even though we have our arms locked to him, this ain't right, brother. This is the way. Let's walk in it together. Not you go do it. I've already done it. Now you catch up to me. No, let's walk together. None of us really know. Let's follow Jesus. And there's going to be some tension there. That male or female is going to pull back on that. They can't see yet. And that's where we stand. So we stand with hope that one day they'll give up the hindrance. They'll give up the obstacle, and they'll walk with us as we walk with Jesus. See, there's something. Yeah, we do have purpose. We have something you can begin working on as you leave the doors of the church today. There's no superior nation, and I wanted to say here, there's no superior church nation either. I see this. It's beginning to tempt me. Well, the church is superior. She is not. Absolutely not. She's not superior. What should Scripture say is she's a holy nation. Ah, there we go. That's being biblical. What's that mean? That means she's distinct. See, God is holy, therefore you be holy as he is holy. He's a distinct God. He has distinct characteristics. He's one of a kind. See, we don't go along with the world and everything they do. We take this light of Jesus Christ, and we begin to walk in that by his grace. So we're a holy nation. We are a nation. We are distinct from you in the sense that we're going to follow Jesus Christ. We're not going to give the church over to the ways of this world. We're going to, even at the point of death, suffer for the sake of Jesus with Jesus until he returns and makes things fully as they should be among us. There's no hierarchy between male and female. None. There is no superior age group. None. Sometimes the brightest person in the room is the youngest person in the room, maybe. Maybe some little child can talk and say something that's smarter than anybody else in the room. Sometimes the savants and sometimes people with physical challenges, mental challenges, are the best piano players in the room. They may not be able to teach you too much, but they can get on the piano and play like a genius, a brilliant. So we're supposed to look at class. All classes, not just male and female, but old and young. You don't just know it all just because you're the oldest person in the room. And you don't know it all just because you're the youngest person in the room. So don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that everybody is equal. Everybody's not equal. Everybody's equally loved. Everybody's equally included. Everybody is equally as gifted by the Holy Spirit. What I mean is, your gift isn't my gift, and I need your gift in order to really get along, and you need my gift. So none of us have any weaknesses. The only thing we have is strengths. The problem is, we don't believe that. We believe we got weaknesses, and I can't do what you want to do, and I want to do what you want to do. See, we don't let the Spirit choose what we're supposed to do. We want to choose. I want to sing, even though I can't sing. I still like it. That'll cut across all choirs in the church right there. So many people that love to sing and they want to sing, but they can't sing. So no, they can't be in the choir. But they get mad. Oh, you guys are unconverted. I'm going to a real church where they honor my talents. And so, but you come on. All of you have seen American Idol. Everybody that auditions cannot sing. All right, everybody, but see, they have some other strength. They may be able to mop up like nobody's business, man. And don't you like having things mopped up? Who likes a dirty house? Who likes a filthy kitchen? So here's what I'm pointing. The point here today still is in Christ Jesus, together as male and female, young and old, across all cultures, and we have dignity and worth. And what we're supposed to be doing is complementing the other. This is why the Holy Spirit doesn't give himself fully all to you. Number one, no one person could handle except Jesus Christ, who was anointed fully by the Spirit. But for the rest of us, we're just in the image of the image. So we just learn complementariness. That's how we get along better, is you and I doing it together. And that way I need you and you need me, and we learn more of what it's like to be in a relationship. Now, this doesn't mean that some people aren't smarter than others. Some women are smarter than many men. Some men are smarter than many women. Some kids are smarter than adults. Some older people are really smarter than younger people, but younger people smarter than them. It doesn't mean that we're equal in ability. It doesn't mean that God can't use charisma, because we kind of use, if somebody's charismatic, that almost makes you want to turn the other direction. He can use whatever he wants to use. Because, look, Jesus was the most charismatic person you ever saw. Said no man ever spoke like that man spoke. Whenever anybody's around him, they're like caught on fire. They don't even know why. Man, we were talking about him. We were burning, weren't you? Yeah, I was burning too. I wonder who that was. Well, that's why we was burning. It was Jesus Christ. He come into town, just preach a little something. People ready to throw him off a cliff. If that ain't charismatic, I don't know what is. He got their attention. But then we've got these scriptures like Moses. Moses is a deadbeat stutterer. He can't get anything out. When he thinks that disqualifies him. And God is so merciful and kind. He said, that doesn't disqualify you, because who made your tongue? I mean, I'm the one telling you what to do. I can know how to get it out of you, Moses. But Moses was still too wrapped up in himself. But the Lord was merciful, condescending. And of course, you know the story, gave him Aaron. But Aaron still had to go to Moses to get to get that out. So in other words, God may not take away your weakness, because he uses that as your strength, which is why Paul in the New Testament says, hey, the Spirit came upon me 3 times when I asked him to get rid of something, and said, no, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. You're going to, I don't need you to be smart. I don't need you to be dumb. I can use whatever I want to, and I want to use you. So children, even though I said you're smart, you may be the smartest person in the room. You may be, in fact, be right many times when you're talking with your parents. But it's not about being a smart aleck. Jesus ain't no smart aleck. When he was a child, he was the smartest person in the room many times and on many occasions. Hey, didn't you know that's at my father's house and so forth? They should have known that. But they didn't know that. But what's it say? He got in the car with him and went home and was obedient. And so that's basically what it said. He got in their van and was obedient and went back home. See, now he could have been a smart mouth if anybody could have. He could have came with all kinds of good. He would have been right every time. But he didn't live that way. So I'm still talking to all of us, not so much about, I'm not giving you advice so much as I'm trying to help you see this gracious Jesus and the judgment by which none of us can stand under, and we can only submit to him if we want things to be right. So as I wrap up, it's time for an apology. Maybe you can't do it right now, so I'm going to stand in for you. I'm going to be a priest of all the creatures in here today. Women, please forgive us men for not understanding the goodness of the gospel and thinking that we're superior. We grew up in this generation, maybe some of us, we grew up watching the Little Rascals, and they started the He-Man Woman Haters Club. Y'all remember that at all? And sometimes we just find ourselves by culture unaware of our prejudices and our discriminations. So on behalf of men everywhere, I'm sorry that we've acted superior. I'm sorry that we haven't been more like Jesus Christ. And we forgive you too. We forgive you for being an overreactionary and thinking, well, y'all have run it this far, now let us in charge and we'll run it the rest of the way. Because I didn't read that anywhere in Scripture either. What you see is everybody submitting to the will of God in Christ. No obstacle, no hindrance. Children, we parents, male and female together, sorry to you for not accepting your smarts and your wisdom. Sometimes Jesus says the greatest wisdom in the world, the wisdom of the little child. Why? Because it usually comes out of faith and trust. They don't have to have this figured out and that formula or success. They just state the truth, and it embarrasses everybody that it was so simple. So sorry for the times we crush you and make you feel like a nobody because you're small. That's not the way of Jesus. And yet we forgive you, too, the times you've been an overreactionary to our faults and you've become a smart aleck. And you become someone that nobody wants to be around in your smarts, arrogant. So we forgive you as well. And the other side of the issue, we forgive you parents. Forgive us as children, parents, for thinking that we do know it all sometimes. And it's just because you walk with a cane now. That you're no good anymore. There's no need to respect or listen to you. For goodness sake, you're depending on me now and my checks. So as long as I'm paying your bills now, mom and dad, you got to listen to me. That's a wrong. That's a foul. Obviously, that can't be of Jesus Christ. For the grace given to us is what we see in Christ Jesus, who respected his parents all the way through. So then I say, in that sense, we forgive you too, though, parents. For thinking that you're the wisest one in the room just because you got age on. Or thinking just because you raised me and paid all my bills and now I have to do every single thing you do and come to all of your demands. No, I have another family now that I'm responsible to and for, and I still love you, Mama, still Dad. I still love you, Dad. I still want to be there for you. Let's work together. Let's see how we can work this thing out. I apologize on behalf of everyone everywhere because of who I see Jesus to be, and I pray, along with Jesus, that we will submit and participate with him more. So in conclusion, I can imagine that you're saying, if you have the Spirit, that is just beautiful. That's life right there. That's what I'm wanting. That's what I'm wanting to be a part of. And I can imagine that there's another part of you that might say, or maybe another person who might say and doesn't so much know the Spirit and say, I don't see all that. I ain't see that inside there. I look at Jesus, I still see black people. I still see a black Jesus because they were all born over in Israel. They were all over there where the sun shines all day. There wasn't a white over there. Now, I'm telling you, when I talk to you, I'm talking out of stuff I've heard and experienced and deal with. So I'm not making stuff up. I've been there. I know the reasonings that people have. They've given them to me. I don't see you haven't given me any facts to make me change my position. And I say to you, as I said before, I'm not here to convince you of any position. I'm here to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has taken up our humanity into himself and shares with us his life of prayer, his life of communion with his Father in the Holy Spirit. That's all I share with you today. There's an entirely refreshing new way to receive Jesus. So if you can for one moment step back by the Spirit of God and not have to have facts straight and not have to do all your little research, then there's another more simple way. It's the way called faith and hope and love. And not just any faith, faith in the person of Jesus. You could just decide to trust Jesus today. You could just decide by the Holy Spirit's grace upon you to just believe that that's the truth about who I am and who others are and start living so. So if you'd like to do that, I put forth the right hand of fellowship, as we say in the church, and I would welcome you. We would welcome you into the church if the Holy Spirit's leading you here. And this is why we have response cards and why we have people. It'd be better for you to just go to a person and say, look, I want to be a part of this. This is what I'm talking about. I met Jesus here today, and I'd like to be a part of what you're doing. They'll bring you to one of us pastors. We'll help you take the next step, and we'll just walk together. Amen? So let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you through Jesus and the Holy Spirit for, first of all, in Christ Jesus, just giving us participation. It's not even anything we have to work up and do. In him, male and female, old and young, are working together. All hindrances are gone. Thank you for that good news. That's our hope. And thank you for a people living and breathing yet today who are beginning to participate more, along with me, that we're beginning to change and transform because of your effect on us. But we also pray for this world that doesn't yet know that. Would you help them to know that and to participate? You said you would draw all men to yourself. We're believing that because we're your church and a part of your body, that you may be calling people here to join you in what you're doing. So help us to be warm and welcoming. Help them to follow through. If you're prodding a person to be more part of what you're actually doing, then move on them in such a way that they obey. We love you and thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.